the new economy advisor. People will always need a real person to help them with their money, a seasoned financial advisor recently told me confidently. Computers and robo-advisors will never replace humans in this industry. I couldn't tell whether his opinion was based on delusion, wishful thinking, or an ignorance of technology, but I knew that this fellow's optimism was woefully unfounded. His remarks reminded me of similar sunny words uttered by travel agents, retailers, booksellers, taxi drivers, and other traditional business people who had failed to see the writing on the wall. In each case, they were afflicted with the status quo bias, a mental delusion that convinces us that the future will be more or less the same as the present. As a marketing and business coach to independent financial advisors, more than 2,000 at last count, I've witnessed an interesting pattern. When I give presentations and speeches about the new economy and my new economy model, I get three different reactions. 10% of the folks are on side with my message. They're eager to embrace the future. They're ready to start building a financial service business that matches the new economy marketplace. 60% of the advisors are not interested in what I'm talking about because they don't think it applies to them. They don't believe new financial business models will disrupt them. At best, they see my new economy message as a kind of entertaining science fiction curio, the ravings of well-meaning but overwrought outsider who doesn't really understand the industry. And then there is the remaining 30%. They're the most interesting because their response is anger. They don't like to think about the future because they see it as a threat, and they don't appreciate me talking about the tsunamic wave of change that's coming. In fact, they think talking about these trends somehow makes me responsible for what's happening. A shoot the messenger response. So I focus on the 10% of advisors who have clear eyes and open minds. They're not fools. They see that the financial service industry is changing and that they better get on board or miss the boat. This book is for that 10%, and I'm hoping you're one of them because the future is going to be extremely bright for those advisors who make the successful transition from the old economy to the new economy. As the ranks of advisors are savagely gutted in the next few years, the ones left standing will have huge opportunities to build new economy businesses that only faintly resemble what came before. I got my start in financial services back in 1985 when I worked for a corporate marketing firm in Toronto. One of our clients, Royal Trust, had just introduced something called financial planning. This was big news because up to that point, a typical financial advisor was either a stockbroker or a life insurance salesperson. No one had ever thought to help the client create a plan that integrated all of their financial affairs. Of course, we now think of financial planning as standard stuff. Most financial advisors now say they do financial planning, although we all know that there are many grades of planning, with some planning just a mask for selling. But the key here is that in the 1980s, financial planning was a revolutionary idea that swept through the industry, making old-school stockbrokers and life insurance agents generally second class. Suddenly, everyone wanted to be viewed as an advisor. As an outsider, though, I could see an inherent conflict of interest that the industry pretended did not exist. Because most financial advisors got paid commissions for selling products or fees for managing investments, their role as an advisor was suspect. The question was, if you are advising me to buy a financial product, how can I trust your advice if you get paid only if I take that advice? This conflict of interest has spilled out recently in the media. In Canada, CTV News did a week-long exposé on the sales practices of financial advisors at the country's major chartered banks. Former employers revealed that their bosses had told them to sell certain products to clients, even if those products were not in their best interest, all the while acting like an advisor. This was big news to most people, but not to me. While 99% of the advisors I've met have been super people, honest, ethical, well-intentioned, they've found themselves in an industry that has an inherent conflict of interest. Many of them would like to charge for their objective advice, but are forbidden to do so by their dealers or corporate overlords. So they continue to get paid for selling products, while they are expected to act as third-party objective advisors.